Okay, let's go over to. It's been a while. How do I do this? Facebook. I got the pre-show done already, though. I just gotta. Well, hello there, and welcome to November's Frankie Sensomori. Haven't seen us for a month or two, but we are back. We're still going to the movies, and we still have a lot to talk to you about. So I'm here with resident movie critic Brent Marchand, and we are going to talk about some movies.
Hey everybody. Hi Frankie. Long time no
Hi.
see.
I know. It's been a little bit of a beat for
Well, I
sure.
was on hiatus of sorts going to attending a number of film festivals, so that kept me pretty busy over this over the interim, but I'm ready to start talking movies again because we're like hit November and we're right at the start of the peak of movie award season. So
There you go. Perfect.
yeah, so we're going to give you a few movies today to get you started, and we're going to wrap up a couple of film festival movies also. So we're going to start off with a film that has had a surprisingly long staying power in theaters, and that's The Creator. This is a science fiction movie that talks about the potential dangers of artificial intelligence. And one of the things that's really interesting about this movie is the fact that it raises an interesting question. It gets into the idea of what exactly is the real problem with AI? Is it the technology itself? Or more importantly, is the real danger the people who are creating it? And that's something that's a take on AI that really hasn't been explored much in film so far. The film itself is it's kind of a, it's a capable sci-fi movie. There are some things about it I like, there's some things about it I didn't like. But the message is the thing that's really the most important thing here in terms of getting us to ask that question. What is the real danger here? Will we allow this technology to kind of get away from us if we don't really watch what we're putting into it? Or will we end up, having problems that we can't resolve once we're stuck with it? And especially with the way AI has been growing so quickly in the past year, this is something that I think really needs to be considered. Especially given, when you look at the example of what happened with social media and how that got away from us, you sure as hell don't want that to happen with AI because the implications are potentially a lot bigger.
I had an interesting conversation today with a digital cybersecurity specialist, and we talked about ethics and we talked about AI a little bit and about how, the input and the inputter, and usually they're going to be somebody who's, probably at the top end of the smarts, group, let's say. What experience do they have at the lower end, and how will that, affect what they input? Because it's all about input, right? It's a computer. So we're inputting our thoughts and feelings, and how do we make sure that those are just general? I mean, they don't have any bias towards anything.
Well, exactly. I mean, you're dealing with people who have human emotions and human feelings that they take for granted as part of their everyday life. Are they going to unwittingly end up incorporating that kind of logic into the so-called rational programming that goes into making AI? And that's something this movie gets into. And that's a really important thing, I think, for us to be aware of. Now, the story here is, it's pretty typical action adventure sci-fi stuff. In fact, one of the criticisms I had about it is it kind of borrows from a lot of other movies that when I was watching it initially, I was like, well, we've seen this before, and we've seen that before, and you've seen this before. You got some Blade Runner thrown in there and some Terminator stuff thrown in there. And, I was in the first maybe half of the movie I was watching, when saying to myself, this isn't terribly original. But then when it gets into the implications of what AI is about and how it's being used, that's when it gets interesting. And that's the part that's worth staying for. It really comes out more in the second half of the picture. It's got some good special effects. It's got a capable cast for a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
It's a little on the long side. It could have probably been cut a little bit and not, you know, have it matter too much. And, you know, given the fact that it had kind of a lukewarm opening at the box office, but has managed to hold on for like a month, that's kind of rare these days. Yeah. It's probably ending its theatrical run very shortly, but I'm sure it'll be on streaming very soon. So, you know, if you want to watch a decent sci-fi film with an interesting message, yeah, check this one out. I think it's worth it.
I really thought that the commercial for it a couple months back looked so good. I go, oh, I have to see this movie. I have to see this movie, right? It looked like it was going to be really deliver a lot more than it did.
Yeah.
So decent. And I love Washington. I think he's a great actor following the footsteps of his father. But, you know, it wasn't as exciting as I was hoping it was going
to be. No, but I think, again, that, you know, the getting people into the theater to get them to watch this for the message. Yeah. I think that's the really important aspect that comes through it. And, you know, if they decide to make trailers plugging that, well, people might have said, it's, you know, too philosophical and too talky. I mean, you know, I want to watch things explode. Well, there's plenty of things that explode in the movie. I mean, if you want to see the special effects, they're definitely there.
Yeah.
But you're getting, you know, you're getting a little bit more with your popcorn in this. And that's one of the things I did like about it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I don't know. I'm sure there's other people like me, but my Alexa every morning, she says, hi, Frankie, you know, da, 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 and the weather and the this and the that. And I'm always, thank you. And she goes, you're welcome. And it's like, it's just, you're just so conditioned to be polite that I know it's a machine, but I still say thank you to her. I still do it. And now, you know, my Spotify in my car has an AI disc jockey. Sounds kind of like Wolfman, but he's like, and now, you know, Frankie, I'm going to give you this. And it just sounds so real. And you respond to it like it's real. And then you go, oh, wait, we could kill it. Oh, okay. Like there's no emotion to that, but you feel it because it feels real.
Yeah. And that's another thing that's kind of interesting about this movie is there's a couple of other themes in there that are very important. One is the fact that you've got these robotic beings that they've created with conscience and sentience of their own. Well, are they really free or are they just there meant to being our servants and slaves? Yeah. You know, so that's something to think about.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that there's a very strong geopolitical theme running through this film and the fact that you have East and West combating over whether or not this technology should be allowed to continue. So, I mean, that's another thing that's, you know, pretty significant to think about in terms of, are we going to run into something similar in the real world between East and West in terms of how far do we let this go?
Yeah. Interesting to think about.
So this one, I would give this one 3 out of 5.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that one. Okay.
Okay. So next up, we have a original production from the Amazon Studios, A Million Miles Away, which tells the film biography of astronaut. Well, I should say the film biography of migrant farm worker turned astronaut, Jose Hernandez, played by Michael Pena. And this is a really nice little inspiring, uplifting film that the family can watch. Shows how you can live your dreams, you can be the underdog and still overcome your circumstances and, you know, reach for the stars, literally, as he does. And I, you know, it was a very enjoyable film. It presents a very comprehensive view of the individual's life in terms of how this dream pursuit affected both his personal life and his professional life.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, definitely, you know, fighting an uphill battle going through this. I mean, he applied, you know, a dozen times to become an astronaut. Yeah. You know?
Talk about tenacity.
Kept getting turned down, but wouldn't give up, and despite what it was doing to him professionally and personally, and how it was impacting his family, you know, his family life. It's the kind of film that I think makes really ideal viewing for like impressionable grade school students. You know, sit them down instead of doing an English lesson, say, let them watch the movie and get inspired. You know, maybe they'll be more enthusiastic about their English lesson tomorrow, you know. But it's a little bit long. It could have been trimmed.
Okay.
You know, I like the fact that it showed I took a comprehensive approach to the subject matter, but at times it got to be a little too incidental for me, to the point where it's like, okay, you're slowing down the pace here. Like, pick it up a little bit, you know. But it's got, you know, good performances in it. Got a fair amount of surprisingly good comic relief.
Yeah. You know. And the actors, like, there's his mother, I'm sorry, her name is escaping me at the moment, but she's a very famous actress. She's been in a lot of stuff. She's had lead roles in a lot of stuff, and she kind of had a really back role with heart. No, not really anything to say in this. I was shocked to see her in this movie, but a good representation. She is, you know, a Mexican actress. And the other part that I really liked about this movie, a good teacher, a good teacher can take you all the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of those who has really changed the course of our lives. And, you know, as I said before, the tenacity, he got turned down and turned down and turned down over a dozen times, and he still came back for more. The idea of, you know, behind every great man is a woman or a man. His family sacrificed for him. And the fact that she had her own dream that she gave up for him to say,
yes,
you know what do these people have that got in that you don't? Well, let's pour ourselves into making you the same as them. And he did. And he did it. And absolutely a one in a million kind of individual, really, you know.
And also the fact that he was good friends with one of the people who was on the Columbia.
Yeah.
And you know,
I was glad that
could have, that could have like stopped him in his tracks and said, oh, I'm not getting on that thing.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He still kept going and said, this has been a dream of mine. I want to keep going forward.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, this is a modestly interesting film. You know, you can watch it.
You can watch it with your kids and it's okay.
Yeah. And I think especially the impact on the kids is probably one of the strongest attributes of this film.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily review a lot of family films on this podcast, but this one stands out, I think, as being one of the better ones out there. So if you've got Amazon Prime, give it a look. It's been a fairly sizable hit on there. So, and I would give it 3 to 3.5.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Okay, so next we have a movie that has just, it's like came from out of the blue seemingly, and has just kind of blown up in terms of being a huge hit. It's the documentary After Death, which is about near-death experiences. And this film has been very polarizing between the audience and critics. Critics have really not liked it very well. Audiences have loved it. Mm-hmm. It examines the subject from a variety of angles. It has interviews with a number of experts in the field, like Raymond Moody, who mm-hmm. got the ball rolling with making this publicly known. And also with people who have had near-death experiences, talking about what they went through. And they even include some reenactments of what they experienced. And it's all backed up with some gorgeous, I mean, positively gorgeous CGI effects, trying to capture the impression of what they experienced when they had these experiences, and a beautiful original score that just is very moving and uplifting. Now, the one thing about this film, and the critics are somewhat right about this, there isn't a lot of particularly new material here, you know, that hasn't already been done in other documentaries and other TV shows. But the way this is all packaged, the way it's put together to give you the comprehensive view of what it's like, what constitutes these events, what people can experience, that's the thing I really liked about it, is it gives you a very good overview of this film. Now, the other thing that's I found a little disingenuous from some of the critics is, well, this is just propaganda for, you know, the Christian right. Well, it takes more of an ecumenical approach in terms of being spiritual and not really talking about any one particular religious tradition. Yes, there are some references to Christian experiences in this, but it covers the whole spectrum. And I think that's something that it really needs to get more credit for. And the fact that if you're Buddhist, if you're Hindu, if you're, you know, Christian, if you're Jewish, whatever, you're probably all going to experience things that are somewhat similar, even though you come from a different religious tradition.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the quote that came from John Shelby Spong, the Episcopalian cardinal, who talked about the idea that when you look at one particular religious tradition, it's a path to God, not the path to God.
Exactly.
That all of these others are just as valid as the one that he chose.
Yeah.
And I think that's something the film really tries to bring out, even though maybe, I don't know, some people got blinders on and don't want to see it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my first 3 years doing podcasts and vodcasts, I had a spiritual show. And I must have interviewed Dr. PMH Atwater three times at least, who also had interviewed over 4,000 people who had NDEs. And she told me, with her experience and the experiences of these people in the book, it was called The Big Book of Near-Death Experience. Whatever your religion is or whatever your belief system is, that is who you will see.
Yep.
So if you believe in Jesus is going to be there for you, he'll be there for you. If you think your dog's going to be there for you, your dog's going to be there for you. It's like whoever you are expecting, that's probably who you're going to see.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's something that this film definitely brings out.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found, really found surprising about this, like I say, I didn't hear anything about this until like the middle of last week. And I saw an ad for it appearing in the theaters this past weekend. And I said, well, that sounds really interesting. I think I'll go see it. And just the outpouring of support I've seen for this film in a very short duration has just kind of blown my mind. I mean, it's playing at a lot of theaters.
I think death
and
is
it's getting a lot of buzz from viewers.
Brent, I think death is very scary for a lot of people. And it's the one question that no one can really answer for them.
Mm-hmm.
This is an answer that is comforting.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you kind of something to look forward to because there's no getting out of it. So I think that's one reason why we all are looking for something. People are feeling like the end is near, or I hear a lot of end of times talking, wars, you know, squabbles, whatever, going everywhere you go. And I think this is comforting.
Yeah. And also the fact that one of the really key messages that comes out of this is that death is not the end.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that gets repeated quite a bit in the film. And I think that is something that's providing viewers with a lot of comfort and support, because I think a lot of people really have the whole idea, you know, they misunderstand it. And this film turns it on its ear and says, yeah, you're just walking through a door into something new.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So I recommend this highly. I wouldn't pay attention to what the critics are saying, because I think they're being a little too condescending and cynical about it. I would give this one 4 out of 5.
All right.
Okay, so next we have another documentary, and this one may take a little doing to try and find it, but I think it's really worthwhile. It's called Kenyatta, Do Not Wait Your Turn, and it's a profile of Pennsylvania State Representative Malcolm Kenyatta, the first openly gay Black individual to serve in the Pennsylvania State House. And it talks about how he comes from, you know, a rather economically challenged background, and wants to see the system incorporate things that everybody should have basic access to.
Yep.
I could see him very well as being a potential rising star in the Democratic Party. And he's very charismatic. He's not the least bit, you know, hesitant about saying, hey, I'm an openly gay man. Here's my husband. You know, all of that. And he's gotten a lot of support when he ran in, I believe it was his first election. For the state representative, he got like 95% of the vote from his district.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and in his most recent election for that post, he ran unopposed. So, yeah. So, I mean, he's got a lot of charismatic, solid backing behind him. And one of the things I liked about this film is that, again, you know, like A Million Miles Away, it presents a comprehensive view in terms of showing both the personal life and the professional life.
Yeah.
And it also gives you an idea of how that personal life and that personal upbringing has affected his policies and his issues and his platform, and why he's going out, you know, and stumping for these things in his campaigns. You know, I think a lot of people have grown so tired of a lot of the political nonsense in recent years with polarization and
yep.
the petty bickering and everything, that they're really tuned out to a lot of it. But when you see someone like this who comes along, who appears to be the real deal, it's uplifting, it's inspiring, it's somebody that you want to get behind and support. And I think it's important that we have a film like this right now, just to kind of get people out of being stuck in, mired in the depression and frustration with everything that we've been dealing with.
Oh my God. Can you just imagine him with the new Speaker of the House?
Oh God.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So one of the things I like about this is this was produced by Al Roker of the Today Show. And the fact that you have such a high profile individual backing a film like this, I think is important, because even though right now it's primarily been playing the film festival circuit for gay cinema and documentary cinema, I think at some point it's probably going to get a general release. Also because Kenyatta is running, for a statewide office again too. So this will certainly, help to bolster his impression with the public. There are some people who have criticized it as being nothing but literal left-wing political propaganda. And I could see where, all right. I mean, that argument might have some merit, but I mean, come on, give us something to be enthused about.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I really liked about this film in terms of showing who he is, where he comes from in terms of his background, and being able to bring all those things to the table in an arena where a lot of that stuff has just been so noticeably lacking for such a long time.
Yeah, people say, they talk about, well, you go in with good intentions, but by the time you get there, you take that look around, you go, you know what, I'm going to be a greedy bugger too.
Yeah.
Right? And who knows? But it'd be great if somebody went in with good intentions and kept them. That would be good.
I really get the impression that he's somebody who has the potential to do that.
Yeah.
And, I think that's important, because, you don't see a lot of that in politics these days.
Oh, you don't. No.
So one thing I would like to add about this film is that any listeners, viewers who are in the St. Louis area, this is going to be playing at the upcoming St. Louis Film Festival. So if that's one place I know where you can go see it. But I'm hoping that, as I said, that this will play, more widely than it has up to this point, because I think it's really worth it. And this one gets 5 out of 5 stars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't give those out very often.
Not
so.
Very often. No, that's huge.
So.
It's not just because he's gay.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's just a really good piece of documentary filmmaking in terms of the way the material is presented, the balance in terms that they've come up with. I mean, it all works really well as a documentary film. So to me, that's really important. Now, it's interesting as you put up the Reeling Film Festival logo, because Reeling is where I saw this film. And it's one of the films that came out of that festival that I really enjoyed. So there's a few other films that came from that festival that are worth seeing. The first one is a film from the Philippines called About Us, But Not About Us, which I will basically describe as, imagine the film My Dinner with Andre if it were made by Alfred Hitchcock. Starts out with a rather almost mundane conversation over a meal between a professor and his former student. And you're kind of wondering initially, like, where the hell is this going? But then there are a few revelations that come along that, like, completely turn things on their ear. And it ends up becoming quite mesmerizing. I mean, and who would think that a dinner conversation would do that? But this film does that really well. And it's also interesting to see how the conversation steers things in the direction of showing how we're mirrors for one another. And that's one of the things I really liked about it. This film is on the short list from the Philippines as being a candidate for the Oscar contender for the best international film from that country.
Oh.
I don't know how it's going to fare, but I really enjoy this a lot. And I give this one 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, we get to see it. Yeah.
next, also from the festival, we have a film from Nigeria called All the Colors of the World Are Between Black and White. which explores the relationship between two men who seem to have a romantic interest toward one another in a country where the idea of being gay is absolutely anathema. I mean, it's illegal. You can get killed or beat up for it. And this lore, this film kind of shows what people there have to kind of go through to have to, you know, become comfortable even with the idea that, gee, I might be gay. Really very, very well done. It's also a film that is very sensual from the standpoint of showing, excuse me, what the courtship between two individuals like this would be like under those kinds of circumstances without getting sexual. It's almost like watching, you know, a couple of jungle cats curling around one another, getting to know one another and saying, okay, where are we going with this?
Yeah.
Beautifully shot. It reminds me in many ways of being almost like a Nigerian version of the film Moonlight, which won the Oscar for Best Picture a couple of years ago. Stylistically, it's very similar to it. The pacing is a little bit slow in spots, but, you know, I certainly recommend this one highly. I give it 4 out of 5.
Okay. Wow.
Lastly, this is a film that kind of meant a lot to me personally. So this is a documentary, a big gay hairy hit. It's a documentary about an internet TV series that was run called Where the Bears Are. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with what the bear community is, it's a subset of the gay community that's primarily made up of men who are big, bearded, furry, and are easily overlooked as being gay on first appearance.
Yeah, not your typical well-groomed.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you're looking at a whole subculture of modern-day lumberjacks.
I love it.
Now, this TV series was done, was prompted by some television professionals who were between gigs. And they figured, well, you know, we got time on our hands. Let's just do something we enjoy and we'll have fun with and we'll see what happens. And they were expecting maybe it would run for one season. It ran for 7.
Oh, my gosh.
And became a huge, like the title says, a huge hit, because there was virtually no entertainment out there prior to that point for the bear community. I mean, and they just gravitated to this. And
was it on special? I never even heard of it until you brought this up.
A lot of people haven't. Even a lot of people in the gay community haven't heard about it. I mean, it's totally foreign to them. Probably because they don't fit a lot of the physical stereotypes.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the homosexual you can spot at 50 paces.
Right.
In many cases.
Right.
This film ended, or this series ended up drawing a huge attention from a number of people in Hollywood who started making guest appearances on it, like Margaret Cho.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, you know, developed quite a following. So this film shows the history of the series, as well as some other important themes that come out of it, such as what it's like to try and do something creative on a shoestring budget. I mean, they really had to struggle to make this series because they didn't have any money to speak of. And they only became, you know, started having more to work with once the show went to DVD and people started purchasing those. But also it's important in the fact that it's a series that really made a point of showing the body image positivity of gay men who didn't fit the mold of the typical stereotypical images, which I can tell you, as somebody who has, you know, been in the gay community, I know there's a lot of judgmentalism among its constituents in terms of what's proper, acceptable, and so forth.
And
these guys are like, you know, well, screw that. I mean, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. And they ended up coming up with this series, which they best describe as a cross between The Golden Girls and Murder, She Wrote with big, fat, hairy gay guys.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so it's really a lot of fun. The series is fun. The movie's fun. I give this one 4.5 out of 5.
Okay. All right. Love it. Can't wait.
Okay, so then moving on from the Reeling Festival, there was also the Chicago International Film Festival. which to me this year, unfortunately, was a little disappointing. There were some problems with programming. There were some problems with staging. But I did see a couple of films worthwhile. Well, the first one is a film called All Happy Families, which is an independent production. It's filmed here in Chicago. And it tells the story of a dysfunctional family where each of the family members is going through their own little transitions and trials and tribulations. And they start out as individual story threads, but end up becoming intertwined with one another. And it's really funny. It's really heartfelt. It never feels forced. And the way the whole structure of the film is put together is very intelligent, very believable, and, you know, ultimately very enjoyable. I mean, this is a really wonderful film. It reminds me a lot of the movies of director Nicole Holofcener, who made films like You Hurt My Feelings and Enough Said. I really enjoyed this a lot. This was the very first film I saw at the festival this year. They had a Q&A with the director, and the audience just absolutely loved it. I mean, this is a film that really deserves a general release, because I think it's something that a lot of family people are going to gravitate to and relate to, because it shows people warts and all.
Yeah.
You know, but it does so in a way that's funny without being nasty. And I like that about it. It was very civil in its presentation, yet still providing the actors with opportunities to get in some real zingers toward one another.
And if you're from Chicago, even better.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I liked about it too, is the fact that this shows off the city beautifully. I mean, it really captures what it's like to live here, and seeing the people, the neighborhoods, the things that make the city so enjoyable. I really recommend this one highly. I hope it gets out there in the public more broadly. I give this one 5 stars.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
And the other film that I liked, and I don't have a poster for it, I just have a movie still, is a film from Sweden, Norway, and France called The Hypnosis, which is a quirky little film about a woman who goes and takes a hypnosis session to try and quit smoking. And it ends up kind of opening her up to behaviors that she's stifled for all these years. And unfortunately, it comes at a very inopportune time when she and her partner are getting ready to pitch a business proposal to a group of elite investors. Suddenly, the person who had been acting very rationally and very normally all along kind of goes over the deep end. the boyfriend and business partner is left there going, the hell is going on here? But it makes some interesting statements about conformity of behavior, you know, always being, you know, in a position of complying with other people's wishes, being deferential when need be. But is that always the best approach? And, you know, in a country like Sweden, where there's a very strong code of acting that way, it really kind of shakes things up quite a bit. Now, the one thing about this film is there's some parts of it that you might sort of sit there scratching your head going, like, where is this movie going? But trust me, there is a payoff from it to see where it eventually ends up. So you have to give this one a little bit of patience while you're watching. But I love the dry wit. It's just hilarious. I mean, seeing people in situations that by themselves don't require any one-liners to make you laugh. You know, it's like, oh, that's funny, you know?
Yeah. Hypnosis is really funny because it's such a mystery to so many people. And I don't know if you remember, but I was a master hypnotherapist, metaphysical hypnotherapist too. And, you know, people think, oh, are you going to make me be like a doc? You're going to make me do this? You cannot make somebody do anything in hypnosis that their subconscious does not want them to do. You cannot make somebody go kill somebody.
Yeah.
Not happening. But you can release all the blocks.
Oh, exactly. And exactly. And the thing is, I mean, you know, given how stifling Scandinavian culture can be at times, when you suddenly take the lid off the pot, you can like let a lot of, you know, things out of Pandora's box that way. Exactly. I mean, yeah. You know, it's kind of like, oh my goodness. I mean, this person is really overcompensating from how they used to be. You know, what do I make of this? Especially at such a critical juncture in the characters' lives. Yeah. So I really enjoyed this one too. It's a debut feature from a new director. Hope it gets a domestic release. And I definitely, I would give this one 4 out of 5.
Awesome. Well, we got some great movies here, guys.
We really do.
Good start. Hopefully December's good. Is there a big one coming up for the Christmas?
Well, I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff opening this month as well as into next month. And I mean, a couple of them are already out there. I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon from Martin Scorsese, The Holdovers from Alexander Payne. This weekend, you have the premieres of two films on streaming. One is called Naiad, the profile of the distance swimmer with Jodie Foster and Annette Bening. You have another film from the director who made the critically acclaimed picture Apples a few years ago. This one's called Fingernails, which looks like it's just as quirky. That's premiering on Apple TV. And then going into next month, you know, you've got two films coming out from Steven Spielberg. Okay. One is Maestro, which is a profile of Leonard Bernstein, and the musical version of The Color Purple.
Oh, wow.
Later this month, you have Napoleon coming out from Ridley Scott with Joaquin Phoenix in the role. Another Netflix movie that's opening next month called May December with Julianne Moore. And then the one that's getting an awful lot of buzz is a movie called Poor Things, which is a sci-fi romance from the same director who made The Favorite.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of buzz being given that this could lead to another Oscar for Emma Stone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's some really good stuff coming up. Also, I know of your interest in all things Korean.
Yes, yes.
There's a movie that's opening next month. Yeah, there's a movie from South Korea opening next month called Concrete Utopia, okay. Which has also been getting a lot of buzz as a possible candidate for the international film category.
Hey, listen, you know what? Paradise did great. Let's see.
Yeah. So, so there's a lot of stuff coming out. And all I can say is, you know, given the way the summer movie unfolded and the way the beginning of the award season has unfolded, all I can say is thank goodness.
I know.
I'm looking to see some really good films. I haven't seen a real lot for a while, so
yeah.
There's a lot of possibilities coming, and
actually the trailer for Napoleon looks very interesting.
Yeah, and there's also been talk that they were going to be possibly releasing the director's cut of it, which is like 4 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I'm hoping they're looking to do that on streaming.
Yeah, or at least allow us the intermission.
But I think the initial release version is about 2.5 to 3.
I think that if you guys want to see these long movies, you got to attack the film, you know, industry people and tell them you want an intermission.
Absolutely.
You deserve to have a bathroom break. That should be basic human rights.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, one of my senior friends who loves going to the movies but doesn't go to see long ones anymore has called these films bladder busters.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know, that's really, I think, it's a pretty appropriate name for it.
Yeah, so. And you know, the theaters make their money on the concession stands, and nobody's going to go to a concession if they can't go to the washroom. So.
Yeah, they make more money on the concessions actually than they do off the screenings of the film. So, I mean, you know, hey, let the people go out and get their second bucket of popcorn.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right. All right.
So,
I'm going to say goodbye to you guys on Facebook. Stop the streaming.
Take care, everybody.
I'm going to stop.